that. If you have your Bibles this evening, we're interested in the book of Mark, the fifth chapter of the book of Mark. Thank God for what He's doing in these days. Mark chapter number 5. We want to look at just a few verses, and we'll probably read a few more as we go on into the service this evening. Mark chapter 5, we'll begin in reading in verse number 1. And they came over under the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that when he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the tombs. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And when he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now I want to stop reading right there and think about just these verses just for a few minutes. I want us to see this thought tonight. Jesus, He is the Lord over the supernatural. I want to go ahead and jump straight into the message. Point number one. I want us to see the safe carriage. We see in verse 1, they came over to the other side of the sea. You remember what had been happening. Jesus had been out in the mountainsides, in the desert area, and He'd been teaching and preaching to the people. He'd been speaking in parables, and people were learning truth after truth after truth. And He grew very weary, very tired, and He says to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." He means they're going to go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So He dismisses that great crowd that had been very demanding of His time and of his attention. The crowd dismisses, and He gets in the boat, and He's tired. He lays down in the hinder part of the ship, and He goes to sleep. And as the disciples are sailing across the Sea of Galilee, just maybe 8 miles or so, they're sailing to the other side, a storm blew in. We know that the Sea of Galilee is about 700 feet below sea level, and the winds come rushing through, and they drop down so quickly, they become violent and turbulent. The Bible says that the wind was so great that the wave action began to beat into the boat. And begin to think about how it's one thing when I get in a storm, that's bad. But it's even worse when the storm gets in the boat, amen? When the waves start filling the boat, when the storm gets in me. And so the disciples, they were fishermen, avid fishermen. They had been in storms before. They knew what they knew to do. They tried to turn the sails, do this, do that, bail out the water. But things grew so bad that they thought they were going to drown. And they couldn't believe that Jesus is still asleep on the back of the boat. And they went back there and they disturbed Him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They were doubting His care for them. They were doubting His concern for them. They were doubting His command. He said, "Let's go to the other side." And they're thinking, "We're never going to make it." And Jesus arose. I like that, don't you? Jesus arose, and the Bible says He spoke just a couple words, "Peace, be still." And the winds laid down low and calm. And the waves immediately became like glasses. Whoop, completely calm. And He looks over at His disciples and He says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey Him?" And we learn this truth, that Jesus is Lord of the storm. Amen? He's over all things. When we get in a storm, He's Lord over my storm. Amen? And thank God for it. Sure enough, we come to chapter 5. They sail on to the other side. They've got, number one, a safe carriage to the other side of the sea. Say amen if the Lord has brought you safely through the storms. Amen. Then number two, I want us to see the sudden confrontation. As soon as they get across the sea to the other side, they come in, the Bible says, to the country of the Gadarenes. And immediately, when he, look verse 2, when he was come out of the ship, not when Thomas, not when Matthew, not when any of the disciples stepped out, but when Jesus stepped out of that boat and put his feet on the shoreline there, the Bible says immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. The Bible tells us that this man is possessed with demons. The Bible tells us in verse 3 that this man had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him. They'd even tried to bind him with chains, but it was not going to work out. This unclean spirit is an evil, vile, filthy spirit that's come to take its habitation inside of this man. If you're a Christian, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The devil cannot indwell you, amen, because you're indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God. The only thing the devil can do is try to steer you, try to influence you, try to upset you, depress you, discourage you. And that's the things that he can do. But if you're not saved, amen, that devil can try to possess you and get inside you. These unclean spirits are no doubt angels which followed Lucifer when he got kicked out of heaven. Remember, he was heaven's choir leader. They were singing praises to Jesus, amen. And Lucifer said, I'm tired of you singing for Jesus and singing praises to God. I want you to start singing for me. That's why there's such a war over music to this day. And start singing for me. And God said, he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. God kicked him out of heaven. Do you know where sin started? Preacher Darren, it started in the garden. Started in heaven. Amen. Started in heaven. That's why the heavens have to be cleansed. Amen. So, amen. That's exactly right. And so there's Lucifer getting kicked out of heaven. And the Bible says 1/3 of the angels followed Lucifer. And they lost their habitation. And now they fell over this earth and they're fallen angels. And on this earth, these fallen angels, unclean spirits, demons, they try to take over somebody's body that they might live in it and live through another person's body. May I say that demon possession and demonic activity is a supernatural reality today. It is increasing and will continue to increase until the end of this age. It is a satanic takeover of life. And it is possible for an unsaved man to be inhabited by one or more demons. And this demon, when he takes over their life, he's committing himself to sinister ends, if I can say it like that. This demon is trying to project his foul mind and his thought process through the mind and the heart of the demon-possessed person. It's like a new personality begins to emerge. It's like a new voice begins to speak within them. It's like a new power is exuded through this person. This demonized person will suffer physically, mentally, spiritually. I could go on and on. There could be a disabling of the body. There could be a derangement of the mind, a defiling of the soul and of the spirit. I looked through the Bible very carefully in the last 3 days. I want to give you some characteristics, biblically speaking. It details the effects of possession of demons as muteness, blindness, deafness, deformity, insanity, suicidal mania, derangement, depression, murder, immorality, drugs, hindering God's servant, trying to perform wonders. I could go on and on about the influence that they have upon nations. May I say this? They are called unclean spirits in your Bible. They are called deceitful spirits. They're called familiar spirits. They're called powers and principalities in your Bible. Listen very carefully. Not every occurrence of these symptoms are the result of demons. Don't you go out of here and say, Preacher Darren says, blindness is caused by demons. No, I did not say that. It could be a side effect of someone who is demon possessed, but not all symptoms are because someone is possessed with a demon. Now, I want to say this. I want to go jump right into hope. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to crush the head of the serpent. Jesus came to cast out the ruler of this world. Jesus came to judge the ruler of this world. And after Jesus, this is important that you hear me, after Jesus has demonstrated He's Lord over the storm, it is important for these disciples, yeah, it is important for us as a church to know He is Lord over the supernatural. Preacher Darren, why do we need to know this? Because we find ourselves tonight involved in spiritual warfare. Why I'm trying to preach right now, the enemy's trying to hinder your thought process, distract you, get you away from the message, get you away from the Scripture. He'll try to distract me, try to cause me to murmur and stumble, doing anything he can to pull my attention away from preaching the Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and pray for me tonight while I try to preach. The enemy does not want me to preach this truth tonight, amen. He is so against me sharing the Word of God tonight. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 11, I want to read that. This is important for you tonight as a Christian. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen tonight. Don't you just walk up in here without the armor of God on. You need to put it on. Amen. Verse 12. Why, Preacher Darren? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you see that even in Paul's day, as he wrote there, and where we are today, there is spiritual wickedness, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, trying to influence your choices in life, trying to distract your vision, getting your mind and thought process off of Jesus Christ and His church, and getting you on the things of the world. Hey, this has happened to you today, and demons have been trying to run afoul in your life. I'm not saying they're in you, but they're out here trying to affect you. And yet tonight there are people that are, no doubt, they are demon-possessed. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to because it comes to my mind. I went to Asheville. I had to take care of some business. When I went to Asheville, too, just the common street in Asheville, as I got out of my car, someone was just walking down the road, and all of a sudden they just took off running and screaming and hollering, shrieking, yelling at me. I stopped, and I was like, dude, what is your deal? I mean, here he just came at me. And my wife was back behind me, and you know what? I'm going to stand my ground. And I stood there, and they started yelling, screaming, and the business I was getting ready to go into, the ladies that was in that business seen it. They began to run out, and they tried to get through us, between us, and the man that was, no doubt he's possessed. I mean, he was crazy. I mean, he started yelling. But those girls, he respected the girls that got between us, and he walked off. I could just see it. A local pastor taken off to jail, right? I was trying to protect my wife. Here they came. Listen, I ain't always been saved. Amen? If I have to get after somebody that's coming after my wife, I'm going to get after them. Don't tempt me on that situation, amen? I'm going to do what I got to do. I ain't always been saved, amen? But in that very place, God sent someone to intercede, and he turned around and started to walk away. He said something else to me. I forget what it was. He cussed at me or whatever. And I stood there and just looked at him, and them ladies, I went into the business, and the lady said, I'll tell you one thing, you're a preacher for sure, because anybody else would have busted him in the mouth. Anybody else would have probably pulled a switchblade on him or a knife. Anybody else, we'd have been calling the law. But you stood there. I'm just telling you, I believe that he was filled with a demon, and he came running and rushing at me. And I've been in that place before where I've had demon activity inside of people getting after me. They said, a preacher there, and you're crazy. Listen, it scares me to death. I do not like to be around it, but I know this, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, amen. And I can just trust that God's going to take care of me, amen. If I don't get in the flesh and drift off and do what I want to do, God will take care of us, amen. So it's just, and notice when it happened, just as soon as they got victory in a storm. Have you been in a storm? Has the Lord given you victory over a storm? And just as soon as you get on the shore and you say, thank the Lord, I'm safe at last, hallelujah, immediately, here comes a demon. Immediately, here comes a problem.
Immediately, here comes a satanic influence trying to pull you down. Amen. I'm glad the Lord is going to show those disciples and us tonight that He is Lord over the supernatural. Now, verse 4, let's read it again. Because He had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by Him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame Him. This man is living in derangement amongst the unclean tombs. He's living like a wild beast in a forsaken place. Listen, the last place you need to look for me is to try to sleep and dwell in the cemetery. Just say it, amen. A lot of times I'd go preach places and they'll put me up for the night and they put me in a place that's right by the cemetery and I leave the lights on, amen. Preacher Darren, are you scared? I don't want to be sleeping in the cemetery. Preacher, if you're listening to me right now, next time give me a Motel 6. The town is living in terror because of this man. They're trying to restrain him and their community because their womenfolk and their children are afraid of him. They put shackles on him. They put chains on him. But every time they'd shackle him and chain him by supernatural power, he would burst those things and break them in pieces. No one could tame him. The Baptists couldn't tame him. The Methodists couldn't tame him. The Church of God couldn't tame him. The Pentecostal movement couldn't tame him. The Mormons couldn't tame him. Amen. Islam couldn't tame him. Neither could it. I need amen right there. Hey, the Baptists ain't going to tame you either. The Methodists ain't going to tame you, amen. The Presbyterians and the Episcopalians and the Catholic Church ain't going to tame you. It's going to take Jesus if a job's going to get done, amen. Now, none of us tonight can comprehend the extraordinary power of a demon inside of a human being. They are beyond our control and beyond our capability. Oh, Preacher Darren, I think you ought to cast. I'm not into casting them out. No, that's up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, verse 5. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. This man is screaming and shrieking, and he's got these unearthly squalls that he's making. He's a man, a madman, out of control. And he's cutting himself. He's self-destructive. He's self-mutilating. He's under the power and the control and the influence of the devil himself. We've got to understand something tonight. When we stand for the cause of Christ, we'll be in conflict with the devil. As you serve the will of God, you will run into the devil here, there, and yonder. Well, Preacher Darren, I ain't running into him lately. Turn around. Because if you ain't running into him, you might be going with him. If he ain't bothering you, you might be going the way he's going. I'm telling you, turn around. You turn around, you'll be right there with him. You try to serve God, he's going to do all he can to hinder you. Amen. I know we battle the flesh. I know we battle the world. But the old devil will try to influence those things as well. We think our storms are bad. Oh, Preacher Darren, I'm in a storm. Pray for me. I'm not trying to lighten or make light of your storm because I've been in them too and it scares you to death. But I'm telling you, the supernatural forces that face you and oppress and try to afflict you are even greater than your storm. Woo, what a statement. Thirdly, I want us to think about the submissive confession that we see in verse 6. When this man with the demons in him, when he saw Jesus, the scripture says he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now what's the reaction of that demon or demons of that man, that unbeliever, what's his reaction when he's in the presence of Christ? He ran and worshiped Jesus. Lord God, I may have a couple hundred people come to church on Sunday that won't run and worship Jesus. Amen. They're just here to be on the grounds. Amen. This man ran to worship Jesus. Verse 7 says, he cried with a loud voice, and he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Now listen to me for just a second. This man that's got demons in him, he acknowledged who Jesus is, the Son of the Most High God. My Bible says, and I looked at the verse again today, it's still in there, the devils believe and tremble. Amen. It's amazing how we live in a world that they don't want to recognize Jesus. I've got texts and emails of people saying, oh, that myth of Jesus living on, dying on the cross, that's just trying to justify your own death. Let me just tell you something right now. Jesus Christ is not a myth. He's a fact, amen. He's a fact and a force greater than you yourself ever thought about being. And the unbelieving world will not recognize Jesus, but the demons did. So you ought to say amen right there, amen. The demons recognize Jesus for who He is. He is God in human flesh. And watch, the demons fell in submission, in honor, in awe, in reverence, in respect of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. They bowed before Him. I've got people tonight that I know would ball their fist up and point their bony finger in the face of God and deny His very existence. But even the devils themselves, they, listen, this, my friend, is like a display of what's going to happen one day. My Bible says, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. I feel preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And they're going to do so to the glory of God the Father. And I'm going to be there and see the devil brought in and have to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord over supernatural things. Amen. This is just a precursor that's going to be happening in the future. Now, just a dress rehearsal. The demon says, I adjure thee. This is amazing. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Listen to his frantic appeal. And this is based on his knowledge of future judgment. The demon is adjuring Jesus in the name of God. It's amazing who'll talk religion, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you this what I believe. The demons know what awaits them. And they desire to take as many with them into the pit, amen, as they can. And they're saying, don't throw me in the pit just yet. They know there's a day of judgment. They know there's a time of reckoning. Well, preacher Darren, do you really think they know that they've already lost? Oh, yes. They got kicked out of heaven. That's a pretty good sign right there. Out, boys. Y'all got to leave. You can't stay here while we're going to fight. Let's go. They've already lost. Well, preacher Darren, the devil thinks he can win. Listen, honey. He knows what the Word of God says. He knows who God is. He knows he's lost. He's just trying to pull you with him. Trying to take as many as he can. But here's why. Because he knows that God loves you. And he knows it'll break the heart of God for any to die and go to hell. It breaks, and that's why the devil wants to try to pull people down to hell. Take people with him. Amen. I'm just telling you, preacher Darren, they don't know. Oh, get your Bible ready. The book of Matthew. I found this verse and I thought, hallelujah. The book of Matthew, chapter number 8. I've got a bunch of these, but I'll just look at one just for time's sake. The book of Matthew, chapter number 8. Look at verse 29. This is the parallel passage. Matthew 8, 29. Your Bible, please turn it with me. Matthew 8, 29. Look at this. And behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? That ought to make you laugh. You'll say, hallelujah! The devil even knows, the demons know that the time is coming, that they're going to have judgment. They're going to a place of eternal torment, suffering, pain, and agony. Jesus Christ is the judge, and they know it. Do you see their submission right there? They're just admitting it. Amen. Now go back to our text in Mark. Fourthly, let's see the sovereign command. Here they're appealing to Jesus. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Matthew says, before the time. Woo! Boy, I'm about to shout right there. Verse number 8, the sovereign command. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. The same Lord, Jesus Christ, that had power to say to the wind and the waves, peace be still, and they calmed down, said to the demon, come out of the man. Hallelujah. What's this? He asked him, what is thy name? Oh, Preacher Darren, right there it tells. Jesus didn't know his name. No. Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly who he was. He was just trying to bring up or trying to initiate the conversation so he could push him right on out of there. Amen. Woo! He's going to push the issue. Hey, what he's doing is, this is what he's doing. He's saying to the demons, identify yourselves to me because I'm getting ready to separate you from this man. I'm so glad for the day I broke up with the devil. Say amen right there, amen. There's going to be a separation, amen, Lord of God. That's what he says. He answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. The term Legion to the Romans means 6,000 footmen. A legion of soldiers is 6,000 footmen. Preacher Darren, are you saying there's 6,000 demons in this one man? Well, all I know is this. He said, we are many. The devil confessed that, amen. It's not just one demon in there. We, plural, are many is the superlative. There are many demons inside this man. They're tormenting his mind. They're controlling his heart. They're manipulating his will. There's vast numbers of demons with invincible strength and relentless possession. But Jesus has showed up to say, you think you have invincible strength, but I am greater. I by myself am greater than 6,000 demons. Man, I want to run so bad. And you think God don't care about you. And you think God's not big enough to help you out of your problem. Honey, he cast out 6,000 demons at one time if he wants to. Hallelujah, amen. My name is Legion, for we are many. May I just say right now, for those of you that say, Preacher Darren, this is like a fairy tale. This is a fictional tale. Come here, I want to tell you something. Demons are real. They're still on this earth tonight. They're not yet confined to the depths of hell. Not all of them. Their intent is to wreak havoc with God's work. Their intent is to wreak havoc with this church. And the calls they want to pick on this church, and I go to this church, that makes me mad. I'm not happy about the demonic activity and him trying to tear the church down. And if I'm not happy, I'm just a little old preacher. My Lord ain't happy. Amen. He knows what we face in the day and age in which we live. We've never seen such times as we live now. They cannot overcome the power of Jesus Christ. And look, they know it. They're asking him. They're begging him. They're adjuring him. They know they can't overcome it. Fifthly, and I'll be done. I want us to see the sobering choices. In verse 10, the man, the legion, he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And this is what they're saying. We don't want to be sent into the abyss. We don't want to be sent into the depths of hell. We don't want to be sent into the pit. We want to abide on earth. In fact, I think they're saying more than that. We want to abide in this region. You know, when you buy a house, you know, they say it's not about the price. It's not about the interest rate. It's about location, location, location. The devil had a beachhead there. That's where Jesus was working. And he said, don't send us off to Timbuktu. Let us stay right here. Let us stay right here. They want to stay in that very area. Verse 11. Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him. You see what they're doing? They're seeking permission. May I just say tonight, you see how the devil has to seek permission from God? That makes me want to shout. You remember Job in the Bible? You know, he was bereaved of all 10 of his children. He was bankrupt of all of his possessions. His bride said, "Cuss God and die." His buddies were miserable comforters. Boils, they all start with a B, right? Boils came all over his body. All those things happened. But before they could, the devil had to go to the throne of God and ask permission. Before the devil can try to influence you, he's got to ask permission. And if God allows it, he must be allowing it for my good. And for God's glory, I can win out there. What about that? It excites me. Now, they desire that their sin enter the swine. May I just stop, point out. These are unclean spirits, fallen angels. But swine, to the Jews, are unclean. These are unclean animals. Why are they raising unclean animals? Well, Preacher Darren, they like bacon. Yeah, but it's forbidden for them, right, according to the law, to have that animal to eat. And if it's forbidden for them to eat, why are they raising them in numbers? Richard Aaron, numbers. Oh, look with me. The Bible, you're going to look with me in verse 13. Look at the parenthetical statement, which is the inside information. There was about 2,000 of them. That's a pretty big herd of swine, 2,000 pigs, amen. My family, we've raised a many a pig. We've raised a many a pig in our day. We know all about it, amen. But not 2,000, bless God, at one time. You talk about rooting up, rooting out. You talk about making a mess. That one pig, man, he made the biggest mess you've ever seen, and he loved living that way. He was as happy in the muck and the mire as he's ever been. Can you imagine what 2,000 pigs would have done all over that countryside? And he got herdsmen raising them, feeding them, taking care of them. That's amazing. Hey, they're unclean. That tells me the people are in disobedience. So they said, "Lord, let us go. Jesus, let us go into these herd of swine." Now, verse 13, forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. Hallelujah. I underline that in my Bible because, thank God, I'm glad that there's some things in our lives Jesus can give leave to. It may be tonight you've got some things going on in your home, in your marriage, maybe in your family, and some habits and some pet sins. Hey, well, you need to seek Jesus' face. Say, "Lord, will you give this stuff leave? I'm trying to do it over myself. I can't do it by myself. But, Lord, if you'll command it, it'll be took care of." Jesus gave them demons leave. Get out of that man. And they all jumped out of that man. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. What about that? They committed suicide. If you raise pigs before, you'll get that. Suicide. And those pigs said, "I had rather drown in the sea than have a demon living inside me." What about that? Well, I think that's remarkable. So, those that fed the swine, in verse 14, they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They began to go out and tell everybody about what happened. Jesus has taken a man that had a legion of demons in him, cast the demons out. They run the swine. They ran violently down the hill. We've lost the whole herd. There's dead pig bodies floating all over the sea. This is incredible. Y'all need to come see what's happened. Now, think about it with me for just a second. Verse 15 says, or verse 14, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They must have been convincing, and they must have been persuading people with their witness and their testimony, because the people heard it, and they come out to see it. Y'all didn't get that. I'm going to say it again. These people were so impressed with what Jesus has just done that they went to the city. They went in the country and they told everybody what Jesus has done. They told everybody about them dead pigs. And people began to come like crazy to see dead pigs in the sea and to see what in the world had happened there that day. They had to be very persuasive. They had to be very convincing to get people to get up off their lazy seat of do nothing and get out and want to go see something. It's amazing what could happen if we would get excited about what Jesus has done for us, what He can do for others, and we get out there and tell them, oh, you got to see what Jesus is doing. You ought to get down there. And people would start coming. But maybe one reason they're not coming around is we're not persuading. We're not testifying. We're not excited. Lord God, I'm excited to death tonight. We're not excited about what Jesus is doing. Hey, I want to be in a church that's not got filled with stagnant water. I want to be in a church that's got running water, flowing water. Amen. That they're excited about Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh boy. Now, let's go back now. The Bible says in verse 15, they come to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil. And he had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. What about that? They come, they saw them dead pig bodies. They look, they see this man with Jesus. This man is sitting. I'm just thinking maybe he is sitting at his feet. Listen to his word. Where before he was naked, living in the tombs, had 6,000 demons inside him possibly. Now he's clothed, sitting, and in his right mind. And they were afraid of him. They are more afraid of him now than they were when he had the demons in him. I mean, they're trying to put chains on him, and they're trying to put fetters on him, and they're trying to tame him, amen. But now that he's clothed and sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind, they're still scared of him. And they're more scared of him now than they were. Now, preacher, that's not true. I'll show you they were. Look with me. Keep reading your Bible. The townspeople are afraid. This man's not shrieking. He's quiet. He's still. He's sitting. He's not a crazed man. Look with me, verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to them that he was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They said, Jesus, get out of here. We didn't ask you to come and stop by. Who invited you? Get out of here. We don't want you here anymore. They're praying, Lord, will you leave? I'm begging God, Lord, will you come down amongst us? Will you excite our people? Will you send us revival? And there may be somebody said, oh, God, we don't need you. Go on, do your thing. Are the people in our nation nowadays said, oh, God, we got it now. Take down the Ten Commandments. We don't need them anymore. We can protect ourselves. Are we saying this now? I'm afraid that's what's going on. And they said, get out of the country. Get out of here. They had rather, what about this? They had rather have a demon-possessed man terrorizing the community than have Jesus filling a man, clothing him, having him still and silent and sitting in his right mind, serving God. They'd rather have a crazy man than a man serving God. Does that sound familiar? America? That's about par on course for where we are tonight, amen. Verse 18. When he was come into the ship, that's Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now they're going back to the boat. Jesus, hear me. Jesus is not going to stay where he's not welcome. I say he's welcome here. Amen. He's not going to stay. He's a gentleman. He's not going to stay and force himself where he's not welcome. He gets back to the boat, back to the ship with his disciples. And the man that had been possessed with the devils came to us and says, Lord, can I go with you? Can I be one of your 12 main guys? Can I go with you, Lord? Look, that's a noble request. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to go with you. Verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. In other words, you know what? Yeah, sure, you could go with me on this boat, but I tell you where you're going to be greater used. You're going to be greater used to testify to your family, to testify to your friends, to work in this community where this miracle is just taking place. You'll be greater used right there. I want you to stay there. Listen, it takes a lot of grace to leave, but sometimes it takes more grace to stay. Amen? And he stayed. Now look with me in the next verse. Verse 20. And he departed. Speaking of Jesus, he departed. Or the man, he departed, the man, and he began to publish in Decapolis. Now, Decapolis, Deca means 10. Decapolis means 10 villages, 10 cities. He didn't just go back to his community, not just back to his friends and family. He went to 10. Hallelujah, Lord God, that you wouldn't just testify to one, that you'd testify to 10, amen. He went to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Well, hallelujah to God for that, amen. I'm going to conclude. These demon spirits, they're real. And they're in the world today. And I know we wrestle with principalities and powers and the rules of darkness. And they're around us now. And they're performing all kinds of wickedness. I think much of the bizarre events we see taking place, not all, but much of the bizarre events we see taking place in our nation is demon possession. It's demon spirits unleashed. Let me just say, we live in an area where demons have been on holiday for centuries. Preacher, I didn't like that. They're fierce, they're foul, and they're filthy. And they have extraordinary force, and they're supernatural beings. And for you and I to encounter them, we have to have on the whole armor of God. And it's going to take Jesus to defeat them. Oh, preacher, dear, listen, no man could tame that dude. No man. And I'm pretty sure that includes me and you. And I just want to go on record tonight to say that it's only Jesus. He's Lord over the storms, and He's Lord over the supernatural too. I want to give you this little story. Mel Trotter, he married a precious young lady. They had 4 precious young children. She just begged him to go to church with her. Take the kids to church. But instead of going to church, he let the devil influence him to become a drunk. Not just a drunk, but the town drunk. He'd beat his wife. He'd beat his children. He was inebriated all the time. He was a slobbering, gutter, ditch, drunk man in Chicago, Illinois. He lost his job. Finally, his wife said, "I'm kicking you out of the house." His wife and his children are afraid of him. One day, his baby died of malnutrition because they didn't have any food. He, no longer in the house, he, no longer with a job, he, consumed with alcohol, wouldn't provide for his own family back in them days, and the baby died. He was a terrible man. So destitute, so degraded, he didn't even take care of his own family. Listen to this. Another man that he met on the street told him, "Your baby girl has died because of malnutrition." And Mel Trotter, let me tell you, Mel Trotter, he said, "When's the funeral?" "I didn't know. Nobody told me." Mel Trotter, he went and wanted to buy something else to drink to soothe his conscience. And he had no money. And his tab was at the roof already. And they wouldn't give him any more drink. So he went to the funeral home. He broke in it prior to the funeral. And he took and saw his little girl's body laying there. And he reached down in the casket and stole her shoes off the body of his baby and went out and hawked them for money so that he could go and buy another drink so he could deal with the fact that his daughter had died. You talk about low down and desperate. And yet, here, you just can't imagine. Yet, this same Mel Trotter, after that, one night he went into the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, Illinois. And he went in there to get warm. And they were singing, "Thank God," let me just go on record, "Thank God for them old songs." I like new songs, but them old songs has got a message to them. They're filled with conviction. When he walked in, they were singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." He ran to the altar under conviction, and he got gloriously saved. Preacher, did it stick? He became a preacher, an evangelist. That's what Jesus does. Just like the demon-possessed man, he said, listen, I can clothe you. I can do all that, but I'm going to save you. And he saved him and sent him out to the campus, and he preached it everywhere. Mel Trotter went out preaching all across the world. Woo, what Jesus could do for him. And every year, to commence the death of his daughter, he would go to his daughter's grave with an empty bottle and a Bible. And he would stand over that grave and say, girl, I used to carry a bottle, but now I carry a Bible. And he's won thousands of people to Christ before he went home to heaven himself. I'm just telling you, you may think, Preacher Darren, I can whoop on any old devil. Honey, you have no idea tonight that you are no match for that sinister minister named the devil. Amen. And I'm glad tonight if I bow humbly before my Lord Jesus, He is Lord over the supernatural. He controls all things. Amen. Father, tonight I thank You for the Word of God and how it has encouraged my heart that not only are You the Lord over my storm, hallelujah, but You're the Lord over the supernatural things that try to influence me and overcome me every day. And God, I don't even realize today how many times You rebuked the devil right out of our path to allow us to be here tonight. Lord, I praise You and I honor You. I ask Your blessing now upon Your people, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.